Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you so much for that, again, Isaiah, for that warm, wonderful introduction. It's so privileged to be able to have a grandson like you who cares so much about his granddaddy and also who cares about the work that I do and growing up and learning about Home-Based Business 101. Hey, people, we have a great show stored for you this morning, and we just want to, again, thank all of our supporters and listeners. Listens up now to 19,380. Those 19,380 people that have tuned in here to Home-Based Business 101, making us the number one home-based business show here on the Internet. Hey, we really appreciate your support, and we thank you, as always, for chiming in, tuning in, and listening to a segment of Home-Based Business 101. Well, today's show, we're going to talk about the title is Giving Back, Philanthropy, Good Business Practice. Giving Back, Philanthropy, Good Business Practice. Philanthropy from the private sector is rapidly becoming the most popular source of long-term change in America. We will examine why charitable giving is not only a sensible solution to today's most pressing problems, but a sound personal investment as well, plus a good business practice. Yes, people. You know, one of the reasons that I initially got involved in business and looked at, you know, what we wanted to be able to do is some of you know and some of you might not know, me and my wife, we also manage a nonprofit called Movements Unlimited Performing Arts Company, Incorporated. It's a 501c3 youth and family development company, and we work with young people around such issues as prevention and, when we say prevention, you know, we're talking about like delinquency prevention, gang prevention, you know, the negative issues. Then we also work not only on the prevention side, but we also work, you know, and all of us still motivational, but we also work with young people in the arts, help them expand skills through dance, theater. Also, athletically wise, I play tennis, and at times I get a chance to work with young people, showing them how to play that game. We also, during some of our programs, we teach young people how to play chess and checkers, board games. And some people say, well, you know, what's learning how to play chess or checkers got to do with anything? Well, it basically does. It helps young people have a foundation in what we call healthy living. My wife also teaches crochet, how to take and make things, which is a tremendous, you know, artistic skill. And so one of the things that we looked at when we building our nonprofit was how do you tap into philanthropy? And since we was having a hard time at the time because we didn't really understand how to reach out to those people that did want to give back, we had to create our own philanthropy, and that's one of the reasons we got in for to private sector business part of our development and what we do as far as Movements Unlimited and our relationship with our ZAMZU business, which allows us to raise money for our nonprofit business so that we can give back. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is some things that are going on across the country and some things that some other people are doing, and tie that in and then close out today's show again with, you know, one of the greatest business opportunities that has come here to America. So, first thing I want to do is I want to talk about a gentleman by the name of Claude Rosenberg. Claude Rosenberg. He wrote a book called Wealthy and Wise, How You in America Can Get the Most Out of Your Giving. And he's based in San Francisco. And he encourages clients to contribute to causes in which they passionately believe. For him and his wife, Louise, the top philanthropic priority is youth education. So, you know, those out there that's listening, you know, as you're building your business, you know, one of the great things is identifying a social mission with what you want to do. And when you identify a social mission and what you want to do, then find ways to be able to give back to that social mission through philanthropic dollars. The other thing is that, you know, I'm also a member of the Black United Fund, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to talk about Mr. Rosenberg's book here for a little bit. You know, he put this book together because he wanted to encourage wealthy people that there are worthwhile causes that need support. And he says, I want to help people support organizations in need, places that can help improve the quality of agencies in San Francisco and other cities across the country. Well, today's trying financial times, Rosenberg knows he has his work cut out for him. It's not the prettiest thing in the stock market, but I'll continue to do what I can, he says. There are so many good organizations out there who need a hand. And Mr. Rosenberg has published 5 books on finance. He's also the chairman of the board of directors of Philanthropic Research Incorporated and sits on advisory boards of several philanthropic organizations. And, you know, so he's out there. And this is really good when we find people who are out there in the private sector who understand what people are trying to do in the public sector as far as helping and reaching out and dealing with the problems that we see in America today and encouraging wealthy people to identify a cause and to actually donate to it. And he goes through, you know, how they can do that. And when as they do that, how it's a plus for them, it's, you know, as he says, a win-win, a plus for them, and then also a plus for the organization. One of the other things is that Mr. Rosenberg is a founder of the New Tithing Group, and he believes that many people can afford to give away more than just a percentage of their paychecks and still live comfortably. The key is examining not only income and expenses, but also investment assets. So he shows people how to manage their portfolios in terms of investment, those wealthy folks, you know, managing their portfolios so that as they earn interest and other stuff, that as opposed to losing it in taxes, having legitimate tax shelters in which they can donate to. And it is so important. In the African American community, you know, the late Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter, Reverend Bernice King, one time she shared the stage with Mr. Joe Marshall out of San Francisco, who has the Omega Boys Club, and gave a keynote address at the Youth and Family Nonviolence Summit. And hip hop star Pastor Christopher Play Martin, you know him from Kid and Play, headlined the event, and they're sponsored by Birmingham's Future Supporter Services, a service-based organization dedicated to helping youth excel. So across the country, people are dealing with this. Also, Goldman Sachs Foundation has a youth development piece that they do in which they donate back to the community. So it's important to these big corporations and foundations. It's we have a social mission and a cause out there to identify and find out what it is that they're supporting and how to get your paperwork in order so that you can receive the support that's out there that can be given to you. Now, one of the other people who is a big-time giver and is no stranger to some folk is, you know, the actor Danny Glover. Danny supports a lot of causes. I mean, and he's one that really gives back. You know, he's been giving back for a long time. Him, Bill Cosby, people there, you know, Oprah, you know, they know that they need to give back, one, because if they don't find worthwhile causes to give back to, the IRS is going to dig deep in their pockets. So it becomes a tremendous tax advantage also for organizations to be able to give back, you know, and we want to really emphasize that important part of giving back. You really, really need to focus on that. And people, you know, as you're building your business, I know some of you say, well, I don't hardly make that much. I mean, if you did no more than buy some books for a Sunday school program or an after school program, feed some children, learning how to just donate, you know, and sometimes donating your time, going to work with some children, sometimes just going to donate your time. By donating your time, you'd be surprised the impact that it can have on people. Too often, people in business just for themselves. Yes, you want to be able to secure your family, but at a certain point, one of the things that you want to be able to do as you're building your business, as I said, find a worthwhile cause to support. And when you find that worthwhile cause of support, then stick with them. You know, stick with them. If you need to give them some help on how to manage what they're doing so that they can continue to receive, then you do that. Okay. Because too often what happens with nonprofits and community-based organizations is their work becomes so encumbersome that sometimes they don't do the good record-keeping that they need to do. So you might, you know, if you're a big company, then you might be able to assign an accountant to assist them, you know, a few hours a week to help make sure that their books are in order so that as they receive gifts, especially sizable gifts. When I say sizable gifts, I mean you got people that donate $50,000, $125,000, $150,000. Give you an example. Organization I know in Baltimore, they had a program, and they still have the program. It's called a Praise Academy. And I remember when they told me what their strategy was going to be for funding it, you know, and I was like, well, wow, that's going to be interesting. How are you going to do that? Because they wasn't applying for no grant. They said, we're not applying for no grant. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to talk to some different foundations and some philanthropists and share with them what it is that we intend to do and why we want their support and what's in it for them. He said, because it'd be better for us to do it that way than doing all of these grant applications and begging and hoping and you still don't go nowhere. Because, you know, grants are very, very competitive, regardless of what most people think. When you're applying for these mega grants, you know, I call them one in a million chances of getting it. You know, they're very, very competitive. And so you really need to have a tremendous strategy on how you want to go after your funding. And philanthropy is a great way once you get your mission in order, some good PR, and like I said, most important is your books in order. You want your books in order so that when the people want to donate, that they feel that they're donating to a cause that's ethical. Ethics plays a big part in a lot of what you do. One of the things, again, out of Mr. Rosenberg's book, you know, I want to take a couple points out of here that he shares in his book. Hold on a second here, please. I'm working from this behind my computer as we do it. Okay. In addition to teaching people of all tax brackets how to cultivate constructive financial habits, this innovative guide, his book, which is called Wealthy and Wise, How You in America Can Get the Most Out of Your Giving, is one of the things he does, as it says, besides helping people have constructive financial habits, this innovative guide will tell you everything you need to know to turn your philanthropic contributions into the soundest investments of all, including how to calculate what you can realistically afford to give and where to consider giving it, how to contribute most effectively within your own area of interest, and how to assess where your money is going, how to promote local leadership, how to estimate your needs over short and long periods of time, how to plan bequests to your children and to charities, and how to stop depriving yourself anxieties over dipping into capital by learning a new way to deal with these investments. I mean, this is so important. I mean, as he said, you know, cultivate leadership, you know, making sure that you help the people have accountability. And that's, you know, that's really so important. And, I mean, it's just so important. His first chapter called Saving Our World Champion Country. I mean, this is so timely. I mean, you know, he wrote this in 1984. The original book was written in 1984, and then he updated it. He said, America emerged from World War II by far the richest and most powerful nation in the world. The United States had an enormous advantage at the end of the war. Practically all of Europe, United Kingdom, Japan, and other powers were physically and financially ravaged, but the United States was not. Another advantage was the safety of our nation's political system and an economic philosophy that time has proved superior to other forms. It took many decades, but we overcome the challenge of communism and, in effect, won that war, too. Well, you know, I had to have a little bit of difference of opinion around the whole thing. I think we need a mixed economy, you know, one that is also has social concerns. And, I mean, he does have social concerns. And we don't need this runaway capitalism that we have, but we do need a mixed economy. And he goes on to begin to talk about the problems that have come up in America since then. See, America's internal problems are tremendously, you know, serious. The FBI recently warned that 83% of all Americans can expect to become victims of crime in their lifetimes. Family lives are less cohesive and more frantic. Why is that? Because of the job situation, because of unemployment. And so, again, it ties back into those of us that are involved in network marketing or multi-level marketing, and that, you know, which is, I feel, is a great social means of distributing wealth. It's why our job is so important, because the big jobs have basically been shipped overseas. And he goes on to say, excessive unemployment, an expensive health care system, and you saw all of the issues around just health care reform. I mean, you know, the health care system is crap. Tremendous amount of unemployment and tremendous amount of underdevelopment, tremendous amount of people who are not literate, social unrest, poverty, sickness. All of these issues are eating away at the core and the fabric of our society. And so on one hand, you know, as he talks about the wealthy and what they need to do is giving back to help fight social ills. And so organizations that are out there that are strategically positioning themselves to fight social ills need to make sure that we have our portfolios in order so that as people on the one side of money are looking for ways to support decent causes because they fear the decline in living standards here in America, we need to be able to be that conduit for them. He goes on to say, indeed, were historian Edward Gibbon alive today, he might be writing a book called The History and Decline and Fall of the American Empire. Are there remedies for these troubles? Is there something that we citizens can do? And if so, where do we begin? And once again, he's saying that there's tremendous amount of social ills in America. And philanthropy is one of the ways that we can address these social ills. We have to find ways to address the social ills. We need a Marshall Plan, a plan that helps rebuild America, rebuild a workforce, and readdress our basic problems. And until we do that, you can make all of the money you want. You're not going to escape. You can build your gated community. Somebody's going to try to find a way to break in there. So as opposed to locking them up, you educate them up. You help them out. But then even if you give them all the education in the world, if they don't have the means to be able to fulfill their life dreams and, you know, be able to move in the kind of community they want. The reason people build gated communities is because they're trying to keep other people out. And, you know, we got to become a holistic society in which everyone is cared for. And again, I said philanthropy can be a great means in the process of giving back so that people can get more. And you know, this book is so powerful, you know, and I advise everyone, you know, to pick up a copy. It's called The Wealthy and Wise. Wealthy and Wise, How You in America Can Get More Out of Your Giving. We need to give, people. We really need to be able to give. It's so important. We take a little break here and come back. And, you know I rambled there for a few, and just sort of tie all this together and wrap it up into where we're at with our business and why this whole philanthropy and giving piece is so important to us and why I hope it becomes important to you. You're listening to Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. And Home-Based Business 101 is Movements Unlimited. It's a group radio business outreach program to help support Movements Unlimited Performing Arts Company, Incorporated. Today we're talking about philanthropy, giving back. Title of today's show, Giving Back, Philanthropy, Good Business Practice. Well, the radio show is designed for us to make people aware about our business as we raise money to give back to our nonprofit, to help us with our work that we do as far as gang prevention, delinquency prevention. And, you know, we're talking about social ills this morning in America. And you need to identify what social ills that you want to work on. And it takes me back to a position one time I was having a discussion with a school principal. And I told the principal why she really, really needed to care about her students. I said, if you care, and you care, and you care, and really care, and don't just see them as a, you know, a statistic, and do everything you can within your power in that institution to wrap resources around each child so that we really can have a No Child Left Behind, which was a joke that the Bush administration put together, but I mean, the title was catchy, but it was, you know, I won't get into trying to explain all about the program on this show. That's topic for another show, but I mean, the thing, No Child Left Behind, I mean, that's a great thing. How do we implement something like that? How do we wrap resources around a child so that they're not left behind? And the dialogue I was having with a particular principal, I said, because see, if you don't, I say, then that same child that you fail, they grow up to be a failed adult. And don't be surprised one day if you run into them 15 years later, and because they're a failed adult now, they stick a gun in your face and want to rob you. Where when they was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and it was under your jurisdiction in terms of a school, you had a chance to help that child learn how to navigate their way through difficult times, obtain resources, and by doing so, you help that child not end up in a life of crime. Because, see, if you don't help them, don't be surprised when they become a troubled adult. And there's a lot of troubled adults out there. The majority of children right now, and this is very true, in the big cities, the majority of children are not going to school. They're dropping out. They're giving up because school has become irrelevant to them. This is one of the biggest social causes of missions that we got in this country. You give me any major city, and I can take you into the inner cities, and you got over a 50% dropout ratio. You got more not going to school than are going to school. And if they don't have no education, they're not going to school. What's going to happen to them 10, 15 years later? Well, you've heard on this show, 15 Years Left, that I played by Mark Yarnell, and, you know, he talks about what's going to happen. We got, you know, 15 years from now, we got 30-year-olds who can't read and write. We got a bunch like that right now. Did you know that the average person in the penitentiary reads on less than a third grade level? So it seems, though, literacy and crime is correlated. And that's why, you know, Mr. Rosenberg, if you notice, says one of his things that he loves donating to is youth education. Because he understands the correlation between literacy and crime. If the average person in the state penitentiary reading on less than a third grade level, then that ought to tell you something about one of the factors of crime, one of the factors of crime, or one of the variables. Some people, you know, want to debate this, but one of the factors or one of the variables of crime is maldevelopment and not getting a good education. So, you know, right there, as I always tell people, you can easily start an after-school program on your block. And children love attention. And you have, you know, you don't have to try to save the whole world. It can be a block at a time. And you can have a few children over your house. You can assist them with making sure they understand what's going on in school. And then you could educate them on some things that they're not being taught in school. It ain't all about the homework. You want to make sure they're doing that for whatever the teacher's standards are. But most of the things I learned, I didn't learn in school anyway. Now, I know that sounds contradictory. Going to college, most of the things I learned was things that I learned on my own through research. Whenever they gave me one set of notes, I learned those, and I developed my own set of notes. So, but the biggest thing I want people to get out of listening to today's program is that giving back, philanthropy, is a good business practice. As you earn money, you're going to need tax shelters. Find a worthwhile cause to support and give it your time, your talent, and your money because it's so much needed. And I'm going to close with you with this note. The majority of the people that are working on social missions don't have the money to do all that they want to be able to do. Trust me, I know. Been there, and that's why we do ZAMZOO, to raise money for what we want to do. Because if you try to do it off of fees and other things, it's not always going to come in. The majority of the people that have money don't have a social mission. Ain't that so contradictory? The people that got the money don't have a social mission. The people that don't have no money have a social mission. So people, those of you that are business owners out there that's listening to this, find a way to give back. I mean, if it's no more than $5 a week, whatever, I mean, you start where you can. But, I mean, believe me, every nonprofit loves for people to give back to them. Hey, well, this has been Baba Jahi talking to you this morning on Home-Based Business 101. And you know what time it is. It's my time. It's your time. It's our time. Time to close out with our theme song. It's my time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, give back.
We hope you enjoyed the success song's original composition. For music and words that create